You're listening to the Mojo Matters podcast with me, your host, Jo Britton. Your mojo is your energy, your enthusiasm, and your motivation so that you've got the ability to get results for your personal and professional life without freaking out and burning out. Tune in for practical advice on how to find your mojo and keep it. Is any of this you? You've always known secretly inside you that you're made for bigger stuff, and you don't know why you know it, but you just know it. And then maybe that bigger stuff is building a business, or maybe it's getting to the top of your career or industry, or being a thought leader. But then there's naysayers around you, negative people, maybe they laugh at you. You just want to do it anyway, but you just don't know how. The person I've got on the pod today doesn't really give a monkey's about what anybody else thinks. He just does it anyway. He's been on the pod before. He's a great friend and mentor of mine, and we've been working collaboratively together over the last 18 months or so. But he's always known he's been made for bigger stuff, and he just has something that I admire very much about him, this inbuilt self-confidence and self-belief. So Chris Taylor, you legend, welcome back to Mojo Matters.
Thank you very much for having me back on. I'm looking forward to, well, we always say these are going to be like structured conversations, don't we? And they always end up being just useful conversations, really, don't they?
So. I know, because we have lots of these, don't we? Well, we have done over a period of time. And often when we're in the middle of a chat, we kind of say, we should record this and let people listen into them. And so that's probably, although I've got questions prepared, it'll inevitably go into maybe one of our unwieldy conversations that we have. So welcome back. I'm really chuffed that you're joining me today. For people that don't know and they're not aware, you're 27 still, and you've scaled several businesses. But what was it that made you want to go into business in the first place? How did you get started?
To be fair, when I was growing up, it wasn't my thing, if I'm being really open. I wanted to be a cricketer when I was younger. That was my goal. That's what I wanted to do. And I made it to quite a high level and basically got injured. So I was on the verge of being given a contract, or I was being told that I was anyway. And I had a double stress fracture in my back, which basically just meant that I couldn't play for 2 and a bit years. So my kind of future as a cricketer, really, in my head, was kind of over, because I'd lost the opportunity to prove myself. And at any one point throughout my journey, from the ages of 13 when I started playing to 18 when I decided that it wasn't for me anymore, even though I wasn't that talented, I knew I could make it because of, well, I don't know, really. It was that I just knew I outworked everybody. Like anybody that trained, I was the first one in, I was the last one to leave. And I saw myself getting better. And where other people were remaining stagnant, I was just improving. And I just used to keep improving past what their levels were. And when I got injured, I felt a bit lost. And I ended up, because I wasn't particularly great in school, I was like, I didn't do badly, but I wasn't amazing. I was just an average student. I didn't go to university, didn't want to do that. And I just knew I was, I don't know, it's a weird thing. I just knew I was built for something. I just didn't know what. So I knew that whatever I put my mind to, as long as I worked hard, I could achieve some level of success. Whatever that success was, I didn't really know. So I went into work and managed to get promoted 3 or 4 times in that job. I can't remember how many times it was in total, but quicker than anybody else had in the history of the company. So it's like, okay, again, I've kind of got something here. And then I just basically got to a point where I looked up and I saw my boss, who'd been in her job for like 20 odd years. And I just didn't really know where I could go from that. So I started to look into get rich quick schemes on Google. And that was how I started. I thought, you know what, if there's opportunities out there to make money, then this that I did. I came across a property advert, got into property. Then I built an Instagram following, built an Instagram business. And then I kind of went into content marketing and social media and social selling, which is what we do now. So it's been a really weird journey for me. But the thing throughout it is that I've never been naturally, like my brother is naturally talented at sport. He could have been a professional sportsman if he had the right mindset and the right work ethic. I didn't have that. I had to graft. I had to put in lots of effort and I had to want it more than anyone else, but I've always had that. So I know now that I've had that much experience over the last few years that no matter what it is, that if I put my mind to it, I can achieve it as long as there's a process to follow, because I'll just outwork anybody else that does. Which I think links nicely into what your podcast is, right? It's all about
what's a lot to do with mindset, overcoming challenges, and it's different for everybody, really, isn't it? So maybe we could segue into that and mindset, and particularly in business. So you're on, I don't know how many businesses you've had now, and you, at the moment you are, you're growing Pipeline 44, aren't you? Which is a social selling business, isn't it? And you're chief content officer and a co-founder of that organization. But there must be, because I know it's having your mojo in business and what actually does that mean? Because mindset for me plays into a lot of this, because you can have tools, talents, knowledge, you know, strategies, plans, processes, but we both work in different capacities with like business owners and others and teams to help them improve their business performance, I guess, at the end of the day, or the personal performance in my case. Yeah. And what I notice, and it's something I bang on a lot about, is that you can have all of those things at your disposal, but if what's going on up here in your mind, in your head, isn't aligned to that, then you only get so far. So for you as an entrepreneur, what does mindset mean to you, and how do you navigate daily challenges in your business?
I think when it comes to overcoming challenges, I'm very solution orientated. I've always been a problem solver. Like if I was going to say any subject that I was good at when I was younger, it was maths. That was my thing. It was seeing a problem and seeing an equation and solving it. That was always what I was good at. Now, I don't know where that came from, thinking out loud. I don't really know. It's just the way that I've always seen the world, really. And I've been in this personal development space since I was 19. So when I got my injury, I then started to study and I had my first Tony Robbins book and then started to look in all different ways that I could kind of take advantage of my full potential. And mindset is something which is a term that's thrown around a lot, but it's really difficult to pinpoint and define, I've found. Everyone's got their own interpretation of what it is. I've put my success down to, and I'm still nowhere near where I want to get to, but like I put down what I've done in the last 4.5 years of being in business now, down to finding out what I need to do to be able to achieve a goal. It's the first thing, lining up what I need to achieve. And then not deterring or getting distracted by anything else, but achieving that one thing and focusing in on it. I used to have shiny penny syndrome really badly, and I still, to be fair, to this day, still do. But it's the discipline of just going, you know what, this is just what I'm going to focus on right now, and making, to be fair, some quite difficult decisions over the last year and a half to really break through my next challenge. And my mindset of overcoming everything that gets in my way is that I know I can. Like no matter what's put in front of you, whatever's put in front of me, and I say this to my team a lot, as long as you've got an open mind to wanting to find a solution, there is a way to do it. It's just whether you believe that you can or can't, which will determine your ultimate result.
That's so interesting, because I've picked up on a couple of things here, because you said that word solution a few times, being a solution finder. Yeah. And a problem solver, I guess. But also it feels to me like, from what you're saying, you said, I know I can. And that to me is self-belief, and it's confidence. And I said right at the beginning, this is always something that I've admired you a lot for, because you do come across as like, you know, you do believe whatever it is. And like you said, if I put my mind to it, I can achieve it. Where does that come from? Do you think that's something inbuilt? Is it something that we can learn? How have you developed this self-confidence and self-belief?
I think for me, when I think back as to where, because I never used to be like it. If I'm like, again, it was something which I always start off as somebody that isn't confident in something. And I use networking as an example. Like, you put me in certain situations and I'm not confident. Like, you put me in a networking room full of people that don't know who I am. I'm not a person that goes up and starts introducing myself to everyone. Like, my whole strategy of the way that I built my brand was to become somebody that people remembered. So when I walk into a room, they know who I am and it makes conversation easy. That was what I found really early on. And I have a lot of self-doubt. I have, like, with certain things in life, I have that self-doubt. But it's the desire, and to be fair, for me, I chase, and whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, I chase instant gratification a lot. Like, I respond to feedback. And when I even understand, I once move one step closer to solving a problem, it becomes addictive to me, like, in terms of me going after it. So self-belief comes from, in my circumstance, which I can only talk about from my point of view, right, comes from just doing it. Like, just understanding the process to follow, find out that process. I ask that many stupid questions, people would think, what on earth is this person going on about? But I don't care. Like, if I don't know something, I want to find somebody that does, and then I'm just going to go and do it. For me, what I found with a lot of previous people that I've met that have struggled with this side of things is when they come up to a problem, they'll find every reason not to do it. Whereas for me, I just want to find the one reason why I can, and then I'll follow that route. Mm-hmm. So it's a mindset shift. It's a decision. That's what I found it as. It's a decision. Yeah. If you commit to wanting to find out what that answer is, and you don't let anything get in your way, and that is just up in your brain again, making that decision, then you'll find the answer. The moment you put an excuse in front of you, like I do sometimes when it's like waking up and going to the gym, at the moment there's some form of doubt or excuse, you'll find a reason not to do it. So it's removing that. And that is just a conscious decision.
Right. And it sounds like as well, you've touched on something that I think would be really helpful to people. And it's something very much that I speak about with clients that I have when you're stuck and you don't know how to move forward and you want to make progress. It's breaking it down, isn't it, into what's the next step? And that sounds like it's an approach actually that you're taking. What's the next step if I can just move myself that bit closer to the outcome that I want to achieve, then I feel so much better about it. And there's a reason that that's the case as well, in the sense it's how motivation works. So, and we'll touch on that in the moment, because motivation for most people think that they have to feel motivated to get something done, but it's that it's in those steps and then knowing your next step, or you're going to take a next step, that fires off that hit of dopamine in the brain, the reward chemical that helps you feel motivated. So I really like the way that you talked about that as a process, because it sounds a cliche, doesn't it? But there is that phrase about enjoying the process along the way. I never used to really get that and connect with that. It's like, oh, I just want to get to the end goal as quickly as I can. But actually, it's all in the process, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And again, one of the things that I remember when I was going through this personal development journey was that people were setting goals, and it was like 12 months down the line, 2 years down the line, what's your 5-year goal? And I'm sitting here and I just struggled to comprehend it. I wasn't saying that that was wrong. I was just saying that in my mind, I can't think that far ahead. I really struggle. I can think about maybe the end of the month, maybe the end of the quarter. It's kind of how we align ourselves in business now. But I'm like, what do I need to do today to be able to make sure that I'm making and generating momentum, keeping that momentum going, so I'm making progress every single day. So no matter when it goes, I will hit that goal eventually. And when somebody was setting like 12-month targets, I was like, well, there's no reason why I can't achieve that in 6 months or in 3 months or in 1 month if I just know what I need to do, understand what mistakes I need to avoid, and then have sheer will to go out there and do it. So I remember having like just a little bet with somebody when it came to 10,000 Instagram followers. We had a bet. A guy called Jamie York, amazing guy. We had a bet and he said, look, loser, take the other one out for dinner. And it was, okay, well, I've got a goal now. It's a competition. It's a game, 10,000 followers. And I did it in about 2 months. He did it. And then he lost his Instagram account. So he still doesn't have it anymore. But he did it in about 7 or 8. So we did it so much quicker because there was a motivation to go out there and get it done. It was the same for my first £10,000 month and my first £20,000 month. We set goals and it was like, how do we do that in a month? Not 12 months from now. It's like, we can do that now. There's nothing stopping us from doing it. You've just got to work out how to do it. And you only get there by asking questions and by getting yourself surrounded by the right people. So yeah, I think that enjoying the process is also making it enjoyable for you in the same way. It's, again, it's a decision. Everything that we're doing, I remember listening to a Mel Robbins audiobook of her 5-4-3-2-1 rule, the 5-second rule. And it's like, all that is basically saying as a concept is you make a decision and you go for it and you don't let anything stop you. That's all I'm doing. So I'm not really, it's nothing complex. It is just committing and following through with what you say that you're going to do.
Yeah. And I think for lots of people, it's really interesting, the thing that you talk about with goals, because we've spoken about this before. And I know when I've asked you when we've worked together, you know, what's the kind of destination or the outcome in? And you're always like, I don't know. Yeah. But I know that you talk about things like that are important to you, about like the feeling that you have and being able to help people every day, and you know, those sorts of things keep you going. And for some people, they really struggle with goals, as in knowing how to set them in the first place. Yeah. Or excuse me, they take it so far into the future that it just becomes something they don't really connect with, or that it's not possible to do, and then they feel a bit overwhelmed, so then they get stuck. And I'm all for goal setting. I'm fairly goal oriented. That's always been me. You know, I've always imagined what it is that I'm going to do in the next 12 months, the next few years, or whatever. However, the route to getting there, or even sometimes I've not got there, it has been quite different. You talk, I think, about what I'm hearing also is focus.
Yeah.
And I guess discipline and consistency. Now, I know, because we've had conversations before, it's not that easy. And we know, because we work with lots of people who struggle with that as well. So what would you say has helped you to keep disciplined and focused and consistent?
I think it's, the first thing is identifying when you're the most productive has been the biggest thing for me. So I know that between the hours of 7 a.m. and 12 p.m., I'm brilliant. Like I am unstoppable. As soon as it hits 1 o'clock in the afternoon for 3 hours, don't even talk to me. I'm useless. I may as well go into a coma and go to sleep. I'm just useless in the afternoons. And so what I will look to do is, one, every single night, it's something so basic, but it changed the way that I operated. It was every single night I will work out what I then need to do the next day. What's the thing that's going to have the biggest difference on my day tomorrow? And like simple things like getting my workout in, making sure that I'm carrying out my social selling habits, because that's crucial to what we do. It's how we generate our business. And then one key thing, which is going to move the business forward as a group. And I actually combine two of them together. And I know we sometimes have a joke about it on Instagram, right? Where it's like, I'll go and do my half an hour walk, but at the same time, I'm posting on social media, I'm sending my messages, and I'm just habit stacking. It was a term that you told me. And that for me then just sets me up for the day to be able to go, well, I've got the most annoying things out of the way, really, because it's not a pleasure working out and sending messages and going out there and putting content out there. I mean, content's fine for me, but doing all the other stuff is boring. I don't really want to do it. I don't want to work out. I don't enjoy it whatsoever. And so I just get it done first thing in the morning. So again, that eat that frog mentality, tackle the hardest thing at the front of the day. So then one, I get the gratification that I've done something. But then two, when it gets to the afternoon, I don't feel guilty that I've not been productive in the same way. I know people that are night owls, though, are more productive in the evening. So again, utilize and understand when you're the most productive to be able to ensure that you're getting the most out of each day that we're here.
Yeah. And I think also what I was hearing you talk about before, when you were talking about the Instagram challenge that you did with Jamie, it's harnessing the things within you that work for you, isn't it? So for you, you're really competitive, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
You harness your inner competitiveness, don't you, to help you sort of keep focused and disciplined as well. And let's face it, you know, there's a lot of perceived glamour around having a business, but most of it, quite frankly, is really dull, boring things that you have to do consistently every single day. And there are days, certainly a lot of the time, there's certain things that I never want to do and I really struggle, and therefore my motivation really does dip. Let's talk a bit more about motivation. And I know you said you like eat the frog in the morning, you get some of the stuff done, but how else on the days where you just feel like, oh, do you know what? I really can't be bothered. How do you keep motivated?
I'd like to sit here at the other end of the microphone and go that I'm always motivated. I just do it. And even on those down days, I still find a way to do it. But the honest answer is, when I'm really in that moment, I don't. I take a sit back and I understand that even if I go and sit at my desk for 2 hours, if I'm in that mindset, that I'm actually just going to be stressing myself out more. And this is only, I've only realized this over the last 6 months or so, but I'm actually not doing myself any benefit whatsoever. So there are moments in those days where I'll still get my minimum done. I still have like my bare minimum that I have to do. And it's like, I remember Tony Robbins, it was a big thing that if I ever remember anything, it's this, and it's turning shoulds into musts. So he always said it, and it stuck with me. So I have only three things that I need to do, which are musts normally each day: social selling habits, make sure my team were all right, and if there's any deals in the pipeline that are about to close, get on them. They're the three. If I do those three things, my business survives and it continues to move forward. Now, what's really important to realize, well, for me, when I went through that journey, was that I used to sit there and push through those moments sometimes when I felt like I really couldn't be bothered. And the work that I would produce would just be crap. And it wouldn't be doing me any benefit. So I listened to my body. And I listen to it. And if I do have those moments, I do take myself away and I will go and I'll do it. And then what happens is I normally will, and I'm a social media user, right? So I'll normally see something. I'll normally watch something, which basically gives me that kick in the ass that I need. So I'm a motivational video consumer. I was going to use a different word, but I won't. I watch a lot of it because there are moments, and it's quite frequent, where I wake up and I can't be asked. And it's just finding your way of triggering action. And what I find is that when I'm on a day where I can, so when I get to the moment when I was like, do you know what? I'm just being lazy, right? I'll just do something, like just something. Whatever's the easiest task to do, I'll get it done. And again, people talk about instant gratification and how it's a negative. I use it to my advantage. I know I'm wired this way. And I'll write my list down and I'll put all my easy tasks at the top and I'll just start the ticking off exercise to generate momentum. And then what happens is I'm in the bit of rhythm. And from that, I'm like, okay, great. I'll just do it for another hour. And then as I start to get demotivated, okay, I just do it for another 15 minutes, another 15 minutes, another 15. And then it gets to 4 o'clock and I've had a pretty productive day and I just shut off early. So everyone finds their own ways of dealing with things. For me now, when I hit the wall, I know I hit the wall and I'll stop. But if I find myself just being lazy, I'll find the easy stuff just to gain some momentum and then I'll come back to it later on with the more difficult. And just accept that, you know what, that day, I'm not a 10 out of 10. But if I can just be a 6 or a 7 out of 10, then I can still keep the momentum.
Yeah, that's a really good hack. It's one that I use and I work with my clients on that. When you can't be bothered, two things that I do, I just talk to myself and say, just do a little bit, and then just do a little bit more and do a little bit more. But also on my to-do list, I put ridiculously stupid things on there just to kickstart the motivation, as you do with like the easy things. So mine include things like, I've brushed my teeth. Yay. Yeah. I've made my coffee, and I tick it off the list. And there is something serious about that. You know, it's a task that has been completed where you feel accomplished. So then it's the next one and then the next one. So, yeah. And for you, it sounds like, and I certainly do this as well, sometimes there are just moments where you're just not feeling it, and it's all right to be like that. Nobody can be 100% motivated 24 hours of the day, really. No. And to be kind to yourself, I think, sometimes really helps, as long as you realise you're doing that with intent as well. You know, you're switching off with intent rather than just it becoming a habit in itself of, I don't know, whether you want to call it lazy or whatever.
I think one of the things that's also helped me, just to add on to it, is when I'm at those moments where I'm still feeling all right in the day, so maybe I'm not a 5 out of 10, maybe I'm like a 4, right? Something towards the bottom of the end. I always rate myself. I rate myself at the end of every day, like, how have I done today? And I'll always, whenever I feel myself a little bit like low, I'll go, what would the best version of me do right now? Such a simple thing. It's hard to do, actually, I think. For me, I've always been able to do it. It's like, look, Chris, take a grip. Imagine this is, and again, this is something that I've just taken since I watched the film as a kid. What if life was the Matrix? What would happen? Like, imagine if you didn't have a choice, remove emotion, and you just had to do it. You'd find a way to get it done. And it's quite a weird way of looking at things. And I get people raising eyebrows at me all the time whenever I talk about this stuff. But whenever there's stuff that I just need to do, and I find myself being lazy, I go into almost what I call robot mode, and it's remove emotion, get your head down, and just stop making excuses for yourself and do it. So there are moments where I do give myself a bit of a kick and go, look, if you had to do this, you would. So find a way. And there's a different mindset shift there depending on how I'm feeling in each day. And it's easy sitting here and talking about it and saying it now, but I find myself, like, even yesterday, like, I found myself just saying, like, just be better. Like, you're not performing to the way that you should. Stop making excuses for yourself. You know you're better than this. Just go out there and be better. And I talk about with my business partners all the time on it, because they laugh. And I'm like, no, I'm being serious. Like, we've not reached our standards yet. Improve. It's not hard. Find a way to be better at what you're doing. And put some more effort in as well. And it's such simple stuff. And there are days now where I know that I need to take that step back and listen and rest. But then there's also the other days where I'm like, no, Chris, you're just making excuses for yourself. Get the fuck on with it. Like, and then put your foot down and go. So yeah, there's a balance, I think. I think there's a balance to be had.
I like that about rating your day as well. Because actually, if you start with, it's an exercise I do with clients sometimes, what does a 10 out of 10 day look like for you? What's happening? What's going on? You know, when you're performing at your best, everything is, you know, 100%. What does that actually look like? And then work backwards from that. And actually look every day, you know, score yourself at the end of the day. Over a period of time, when you're finding yourself scoring yourself a 5 out of 10, it was like, okay, well, what am I not doing that I would be doing if it was a 10 out of 10 day? So how do I get back on track with that?
Yeah, I love it. I love it as a concept. I remember, I think it was Emma's journal, Emma Deeker's journal, which has it in there, which triggered it for me. And I think it's genius. Again, it's something which is so simple to do, but designing your day is like, I know that if I don't go to the gym come 8 o'clock at night, I'm an ass. I know, right? I'm just a dickhead and I need to make sure. So therefore, if I want to make sure that my relationships still arrive by the end of the day, I need to make sure that I've been to the gym, because for some reason, if I don't, I'm an absolute moron. So I have to go, and it's a must. Like, I have to do it. And the days where I don't, I regret it massively. So my 10 out of 10 day has to have, at this current point, a workout in and Married at First Sight Australia in at the end of the day. That's basically my 10 out of 10 day with how they go. That's my guilty pleasure in now. I absolutely love that program at the moment. Absolutely love it.
Well, you and I both. You know, I'm a massive fan of that as well. So where do you talked a lot about, I think you said you were 19, you started to get into more of the personal development stuff, but where do you find your inspiration, or who do you take it from?
It's a tough one. I like, if you'd have asked me this like 2 to 3 years ago, I would have probably gotten someone like Branson or someone like Musk or someone like that. What I'm finding inspiration from at the moment are not the icons at this current point. I'm finding it from everyday people that are consistently overtaking me. And it generates that competitive nature. And I was speaking to one of the ladies that I work with this morning, and we were talking about this. It's like looking for inspiration, looking for who it is that we think is doing what she does really, really well. And we picked out a load of like top performing names, but actually when you try and compare yourself to those sorts of people, it's just not realistic. So it's like, you have to find the people that are quite close. So like somebody that has inspired me is Jamie York, like someone that has done, when I look at his work ethic, when I look at what he's done in such a short period of time, he's like young, he's like he's doing incredible things. And I just respect his values and what he's about. So whenever I find myself slacking, I look at what he's doing. I'm like, okay, great. Like that's where I can get to. I think he's doing amazingly well. Other than that, at this current point, it's people that I work with. Like, I mean, when we have our conversations, seeing the transformation that you've gone through over the last couple of years and what you've been through, and people like Sasha that we've worked with all the time, going out there and doing amazing things. My business partner, Sam, to be fair, what she's done in the last 4 years of being in business, from nothing to having a business taken over to where she is now. Take my hat off to it. It's like insane. And it's just people that I know now that inspire me. And I think that change, and again, I'm not saying for everybody to do this, right? I'm just saying that it really helped me. That change from putting icons on a pedestal and not having any real relatability to changing it to different, almost like smaller levels of inspiration. So like for fitness, I have someone like Kieran Nichols that I follow, and I look at him and he's like in serious shape, and I'm like, I just want to look like you. Like, you're insane. He's my inspiration for it. For business, I've got multiple people around me. For me, in my relationships, I've got like the way that my close family member, my auntie and uncle, have been in a relationship since they were 17. I look at them, they are inspiring from a relationships point of view. So I've got different inspirations at different levels, but they're not typical like people that inspire me. Like, you would guess they're people that are closer to me that I speak to. So I can always tap into it whenever I need it. And again, that's a change that I've been through over the last 2 years. And it's just really helped me be able to continuously maintain my momentum because I'm surrounded by it. I don't have to go and search for it. I'm just around it. So it makes a big difference for me.
I love that. And this is what Mojo Matters is all about. It is speaking to everyday people who can share their wisdom, their experience, their challenges. Because for me, there's far too much celebrity idolization, poster boy entrepreneurs out there who have, you know, not taken anything away from them, have worked very hard, but then suddenly, for me, become something that someone I admired, Damien Hughes, and talked about on the podcast episode I did with him, peak idiot stage, where suddenly they become the, you know, wisdom for everything. And you're like, oh, hang on a minute. There are plenty of people around you every day that you can just take inspiration from. So I'm really pleased that you said that, Chris. Finally, if you had the mic for 5 minutes to an aspiring entrepreneur or an entrepreneur business owner that is struggling right now, what would you say to encourage them?
What would I say to encourage them? This is where my straight to the point bluntness comes out, because I speak to a lot of different business owners and they're all going through different stages. Some of them are beginning, some of them have got huge businesses and doing amazingly well. And the big difference between the ones that succeed and the ones that fail, from what I've seen, is that they want it enough. Like, being in business, from what I've realized, from having a successful business, losing it all, and then having to rebuild, is that I wanted it enough. I still want more. Like, I'm chasing it. And sometimes, again, I look at it and I ask myself the question, when is more enough? And I don't know the answer. I don't think I ever will. And some people think that's unhealthy. Again, I look at it from a matrix point of view. I'm a weirdo, like, in the way that I look at life. I don't care. It's just what I'm driven and what I'm focused on. And no one can convince me otherwise with it. But you've just got to want it enough. And like, there's lots of stuff going on in the world right now, right, where you start to realize how lucky you are. And this has hit me over that. I've been like inundated with the news recently, right, with everything that's going on. And we don't realize how easy we've got it compared to other stuff that's going on in the world right now. And when I look at it and I sit here moaning that I've got to sit behind a computer for 13 hours to make money that I never thought I'd be able to dream of. I look at it and I go, Chris, you have no idea like what's going on. So what I would say is put everything into perspective. The world doesn't owe you anything. Like, you've got to go out there and you've got to fight for it and you've got to earn it. And that's something that I have done. I know I have. I've fought for everything. And if you are struggling right now, be brave enough to reach out for help and fight for everything that you think that you deserve. If you have that mentality, it doesn't matter what position you're in, you'll find a way to get to wherever it is that you deserve to get to. That'd be what I'd say.
That's really powerful. I'm going to conclude it with that. Where can people come and find you if they want to come and connect with you?
I am on YouTube, Chris Taylor Online. Chris Taylor Online is basically where you'll find everything of mine. LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, Straight to the Point podcast. They're the places to get me. But I'm a person, you send me a message, you'll always get a response. So if you ever have any questions, and I'm always around to answer them.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for joining me once again. I'm sure you'll be back again in the future.
Definitely will. Been a pleasure being on, Joe, again.
You've been listening to the Mojo Matters podcast with Joe Britton. Tune in again for more practical advice on how to find your mojo and how to keep it.